following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
We're going to start a new series tonight that's going to go for 6 weeks. And it will go right up to the time that I take that first the hiking tour with me to Israel. And I'm excited about this. It's certainly on more the topical side of studies. We're not going to be going through just one book. We'll be referencing a lot of different scripture on our way through this. Community matters. We're going to talk about why we do the things that we do, and especially in what I'm going to call now Volume 1, these first 6 weeks. We're going to do a Volume 2 in a little while. But in the first 6 weeks of this, we're going to talk about what we do when we get together. And why we do what we do when we get together. This evening, well, first of all, let me give you the sort of the lay of the land that's before us on these next 6 weeks. Starting tonight, we're going to talk about worship, why worship matters. And we're going to talk next week about why Scripture matters and why fellowship matters and really define what fellowship is. It's more than just getting all a whole bunch of people in one boat, right? Fellowship is more than a few fellows in one ship. It's being together and everybody's got an oar. Everybody's doing something to get something accomplished. But we're going to talk about why fellowship matters, why prayer matters. And we probably should be talking about this one tonight, but why baptism matters. If you haven't been baptized since you believed, you need to obey Jesus and take that step into the waters. And we've got nice warm waters. We have warmer waters, trust me, cleaner waters than Jesus baptized in or his disciples baptized in. The Jordan River, oh my goodness. We will baptize in the Jordan River when we take trips to Israel every time we do. But it'll be right out here on the courtyard this coming Sunday. You heard about that. But why baptism matters and why communion matters. Why it matters when we take those times every month and every week, every weekend, and maybe you at your own home with your wife and your family and your kids and your grandkids, and you pass around that cup of juice and you pass around that plate of bread and you pause and remember, why does that matter? And this is all about what happens, again, as I said, when we gather together. Volume 2 is going to look into what we do when we scatter. And why missions matters is probably where we'll be beginning. But and you know how you get to you take what you've learned here and export it. I read something in one of those page a day calendars that I picked up, and this one was all about American history, and it was talking about, and I can't remember the phrase that was used. It was something to do with mercantile or something like that. It was the importance, and I can't remember who, I'm really full of information tonight, aren't I? But it was one of our founding fathers who wrote a statement about how important it was that we as a nation were exporting more than we were importing. I thought, what a profound thought when it comes to us as a church. That we need to be big on, as we've been talking about, deployment, exporting what we know and what we've learned about Christ. And so we'll be talking about that and evangelism, why evangelism matters. So tonight, though, we're going to look at this one, why worship matters. And we're going to be, as I said, all over Scripture, but we're going to start in Psalm 95. Tonight, why worship matters, and turn with me to Psalm 95. I want to read to you from the whole psalm. And then we're going to jump around to a lot of different psalms and a lot of different passages. But beginning at Psalm 95, the songwriter, we don't know who it was, anonymous. But he says, collectively, he doesn't say, listen to me sing. What's he say? Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands form the dry land. Read with me verse 6 and 7. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years, I was grieved with that nation, that generation, and I said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Father, tonight, as we step out in this brief series, looking at why we do the things that we do, community matters, what it is about what we do when we gather together as a community, a family, a tribe, a body that you have so skillfully crafted and strategically knit together. Lord, may you have our attention, and may we come out of here tonight, Lord, with more of a heart to bless you, to praise you, to worship you in every way that we can. Oh, Father, I just beg of you, let this not just be another Bible study, a book report. But Father God, may your word and your truth captivate our hearts, and may you hear more praise from us than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen. Look down there at the end of verse 7. Verse 6 says, come, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, let's worship. It says, let's worship and let's bow down before our God, our Maker. But at the end of it, verse 7, today, if you will hear his voice, you know what he's basically at here? He says, look, if you're hearing God's voice, let him hear your voice. Let him hear you praise. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our Maker. Let's lift our voice and everything we can in this effort to praise him. Turn in your Bible. We're going to be back in Psalms very quickly, but turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 13. This is not just an Old Testament thing. I wanted to kind of enunciate that in a couple of important passages in the New Testament. I think, as I've said many times, that Paul is the responsible party for the authorship of Hebrews. And in chapter 13, he says this. Started verse 14, actually. He says, for we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. You know what he says there? You know what that means? This is not home. Huntington is not home. Hemet is not home. Doesn't matter where you are. It's not home here. We're looking for the city that lasts. And therefore, verse 15, therefore, by him, that's by Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. The writer of Hebrews says there's all kinds of ways to worship God. There's all kinds of sacrifices we can lift to God, and he's just mentioned two of them, or two categories, the fruit of our lips that give thanks to his name, and the good deeds that we do. And I'll bet if we had time to ask the question around the room here tonight, you guys have been busy doing both of those all week long so far, finding ways to bless someone, to assist someone, encourage someone, lift somebody up. And I'll bet some of you have even opened your mouth and blessed God this week. Anybody been guilty of that? Did God hear from you this week at any moment where you said, oh, God, thank you? Maybe it wasn't set to music, but did your voice rise and say, God, you're good, and thank you for being good. Thank you for giving me your truth, and thank you for giving me your spirit. God, you're just so good to me. Now, don't turn to these. We'll be at these at the end of our study tonight, but Psalm 145 through Psalm 150 will be there. That'll be the last group of that's six psalms, but the last group that we read as we sort of wrap up our five psalms a day as we go through the book of Psalms. But all of those psalms are about praise, 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 and song, and worship, and the joyful heart that says, God, I just can't keep quiet. And they're very quick psalms. None of them are really very long at all, but they're all about the song of the congregation. You'll see in one of them, it's the song of the congregation when we're at home all alone. At least I hope that's what it means when it says, sing to him upon your bed. I mean, I hope that that's not a whole congregation there, but it's your voice being raised to God. But other passages there that say, come on, as long as we're together, let's do one of the most important things we could do together. And bless God with all of our heart and as strong a volume as you can get out in whatever key we happen to be singing in. And let me say this. God really, you've heard it before. What am I about to say? God really doesn't care what? How you sound. Thank you. It's sort of like playing one of those games, isn't it, on not Jeopardy, but God doesn't care how you sound. How many of you feel like, man, I'm a little bit closer to like the Tom Petty, Bob Dylan voice. I'm not sure God wants to hear from me. He does want to hear from you. He wants to hear your squeaky, tiny Tim voice, if that's what you've got. He gave it to you. We'll talk about that. And certainly, if you've got one of those absolutely amazing voices, Joy and I were over at Barnes & Noble the other day, and we're listening to this this CD that they're playing, and it was almost all worship. There was a couple of, you know, not really worship songs, but there was like Bridge Over Troubled Water, which is one of the best songs ever written, and You Lift Me Up, which is, you know, more about God, but Wind Beneath My Wings, good, you know, sort of love songs, but most of them were worship, and I was going to go buy it, and do you know who it was? It was a powerful, beautiful, beautiful woman's voice. She's the one who won England or Britain's Got Talent. What was her name? Who? Yeah, you know who she is. I can't hear all of you together, but Susan Boyle. Yeah, what an amazing voice. You may not have a voice like Susan Boyle if you don't know who she is. She's amazing. But God wants to hear what he gave you. Using it in the most remarkable, it really the most powerful way you could use it to bless God. And I guess you'd put it maybe in the same category. The second most powerful way is to use that voice to tell others about how good he is, which again is another form of praise. It's not directed to him. It's about him to somebody else. And you get to just brag on God for all that he's done. While we're in the New Testament, though, turn to these two passages, Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians chapter 3. One at a time. We'll take it with Ephesians first. Colossians is just about next door. Ephesians chapter 5, and down there at, I want to start at verse 15. It says 19, but I want you to see this in context. Verse 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." That means watch how you walk. Be careful how you walk. Out at the missions conference last week, I was walking across the parking lot, and I was carrying this plastic bin that I had with some recording stuff. I was trying to get a couple of missions interviews recorded, and I had my briefcase in another hand, and I'm walking across, and I saw a guy who came running out of a building, jumped into his great big red pickup truck, and he turned it on, and he had the backup lights on. I thought, oh, I'm on course to go right behind him, but he didn't see me, and he may not see me, so I took the route up around the side, and he just started backing up, and I don't know if I'd be here. I might be in the hospital if I hadn't sort of altered my course. But as I did, you know how you do sometimes when you just want them to see you? You know, so you look over. I was nice. It was a pleasant look on my face, but I looked over and I wasn't watching where I was going. And I stumbled off a very tall curb that was probably about a foot and a half high. And I had something in both hands, so I went down on my knees and I twisted my foot. And you know what I wasn't doing? I wasn't walking circumspectly. I wasn't watching where I was going. And when Paul says that, he says, I want you to keep an eye around you on all points of the compass. Watch how you're walking. Be careful where you walk. And then he explains, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Use your time wisely. He says this then, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't be drunk. Anybody think that's a good idea? Don't be drunk. Don't be drunk with wine. Oh, it didn't say vodka. I guess I can go drink. It says, don't be drunk. Don't give yourself to something that controls you and leaves you out of control. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then submitting to one another in love. All of that goes together with having that, you know, walking circumspectly. Watch where you're going. And isn't it interesting that he says, in living this balanced life, where you're watching, where you're walking, a key part of it, the first thing he really gets on, is sing. Lift up your voice, sing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That means sing the songs that are in the Bible, the songs that you make up, and the song that just comes in the moment from the Spirit. But be someone who's committed to a life of worship and praise because God deserves it. We're going to get to that in a second. Now move over to Colossians. Just turn a little bit to the right in your Bible. You go Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and look at Colossians chapter 5. 3. 3. Yeah, that's right, 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? He's saying, I want you to keep the word in, and he puts word and worship there together in one sentence. So in other words, we ought to be singing the scripture. We ought to make sure that the songs that we sing have depth and meaning and are tethered to the word of God. I don't know what your playlist is. I do listen to all kinds of music. I don't listen to garbage music. I can't stand songs that have filthy content. I just can't stand that. I only want to listen to songs that are going to somehow build me up and encourage me in my walk with God and my relationship with other people, which means I also do like Bridge Over Troubled Water, and there's another couple of songs that I like, but not a couple. But I love music, and I don't know if you do or don't love music, but there's very few people that don't have some kind of a soundtrack. You would hate the movies without the music. You'd sit in there and think, there's just something missing. And God filled the world that we live in with music. What am I talking about? What am I talking about? He's filled the world with music. What? Birds and the rhythm of the waves. The rhythm, and it just keeps coming and it keeps coming. And there's movement and there's rustling of leaves. All of that's to grab our attention. But God has given us the capacity for worship and for music. And it's incredibly important. The Psalms give us this truckload of material that we can sing. And I want to encourage you, when you're reading through scripture, man, you hit a phrase that just grabs you, somehow put it to a melody. The easiest melody to write songs to, you know it. Beethoven helped you out, Ludwig von. Da 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 da. You can even sing the phone book if you use that simple tune. Just take the scriptures, take those passages that are beautiful and mean something to you, and wrap a melody around them. You know what? It'll drive it down into your heart so quickly when you attach it to some kind of music. Well, there's reasons to sing in the Psalms. We're going to look at a couple of them tonight, certainly not all of them, but there's 150 songs in just the songbook of the Bible, the Psalms, 150 of them in 5 different volumes. You'll notice that as you're going through, there's book 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 in the book of Psalms. So our songs are more, though, than just meant to be a token of worship. I want to spend just a little bit of time on this. If we're really lovers of God, I mean, if we're really surrendered to him and to his purposes, your songs at that point, when you lift them up individually, and when you lift up your voice in the congregation, that has such power and such content to it. And it hits the heart of God. And here's the scary part. Who knows your heart? I always go over this, and I won't go into it in as much detail tonight. But in the school of worship, I always go over this little, my spiel. It's one of my spiels in the school of worship. When Zach came out tonight and he'd put together a beautiful set, it's what we call it, a set of songs, a worship set. How many of you love those songs and found yourself just moved into singing those songs? And he chose songs that we know, and he chose songs that we love. And it's kind of like this when... And I've told you this story before, but let's put it in here too. When Christmas comes along, especially when anniversaries come along and birthdays, I give Joy multiple cards. To me, those cards are sort of like little love songs. And I choose to, even if one has writing in it, I almost always ignore that writing and I write my own poetry or my own thoughts to her. And I'll leave one, by the sink. So when she gets up and she heads for the sink in the morning, I'll put one in her purse. I'll put one on the dashboard of the car. I'll try to sneak in here and get one at her office on her desk. And she loves all of those because she knows that I love her. You know where I'm going with this? If she had any question about my faithfulness to her and my love for her, would those cards mean anything to her? Well, yeah, they would, but it wouldn't be a good meaning. It would mean hypocrisy. He says he loves me, but I know what's going on. I know he's not faithful to me. See, we came out here tonight and we sang how many songs? 4 greeting cards. We lifted up 4 greeting cards to God. Somebody else, like Hallmark, wrote the words for us. And we said, oh, that means exactly what I want to say tonight. And so we sang along with somebody else's words. Now, whether they're Zach's words or Matt Redman's words or your words, when that stance of loyalty and faithfulness and love for God is behind those words, oh, I just want to tell you, God loves those words. Those greeting cards that you lift up to Him when you worship Him. Now, worship really, really, really does matter. It's the verbal part of our walk with God, our love relationship with God. Every single relationship needs the verbal. Amen? There's your verbal. Amen? Every single relationship needs the verbal. Communication is absolutely vital. And commitment, though, behind that communication, that is the core. The love that's behind there. Commitment, that's what love is all about. When you stand committed to someone, not just tossing them a token here or there that says, well, I guess I better tell her again that I love her. It's a birthday. I guess I better say it again. And there's no loyalty and commitment and faithfulness behind that. Oh, what a sad thing. But faithfulness is the key. Every relationship has several aspects. You know, the verbal we're talking about tonight, the physical, obviously, the servanthood where I'm here to help you. I'm here to make your burden in life lighter. I'm here to run that errand for you. I'm here to throw my arms around you when the burdens get too much. And I'm here for you to dry those tears. I remember a song that it might have been John Denver. It was a song that was called Song for Bobby. And it was, I'll walk in the rain by your side. And it had this one line in it, I'll kiss away the tears that you cry. This song was kind of popular when Joy and I were dating, although we didn't call it dating. You know, we were Christians and we didn't call it dating. But anyway, that song was very popular. And I remember telling her, that's what I want to do for you. I want to kiss away your tears. I want to dry those tears. I want to hold your hand. I want to love you like no one has ever loved you before. I'm still working on that. I'm still committed to becoming that. But it's that servanthood. I'm here to help you, and the faithfulness and that response of gratitude and adoration. That's the verbal part that says, I still love you. If I had to choose all over again, I would still choose her. If I had to back up knowing all that I know about her and her knowing all that she knows about me, I guarantee you I would still choose her. I love her, and she needs to hear that again, all those cards. I'm trying to clean up my office at home and here. And, you know, with the move, I've got boxes and bins. I've told you about that. And I ran across this, and it's a growing box of cards because I'm finding them everywhere. It's cards that she gave me and the family gave me, and I put them all in one big box. That was the hardest thing to throw away. No, I didn't throw it away. Come on, I wouldn't throw that away. Those are treasures to me. Those statements of love are incredibly important. It's all important. So why does worship matter? It all starts right here. Our walk with God really does start with worship. I mean, that's really what it is. It's surrender to Him. It's at the very core of our being, and it goes beyond the music that we sing, but it's where our relationship with Him begins, where we bow before Him. Well, one of the Hebrew words for worship means to prostrate yourself out before God. And you are in the most vulnerable position when you are prostrate on your face, right? Laid out before Him. You say, God, I am. My hands are up. I'm not going to defend myself against you anymore. I'm going to surrender myself to you. That's where life begins at that point. Here's why worship matters so much. Because we're made for this. I've talked about it briefly. Let me just touch it again. You've been given the ability to sing, to raise your voice and give it pitch and take it up and take it down. You've been given this beautiful ability to do more than just talk monotone with no rhythm whatsoever. Wouldn't that be great if that's the way I talk to you every week? Like an answering machine sound better than that now, don't they? We've been given the ability, the desire to sing along to beautiful music. How many of you, when you're driving around in your car, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's the Beatles or whether it's praise music, how many of you find yourself singing along? When the windows are all rolled up and nobody can hear that you've got the Bob Dylan voice, you're ready to just belt it out. I love watching people do that in their car, don't you? And they're not even hiding it. They got the drums going on the steering wheel, and they're dancing in their seat as much as they can. And just, I don't know if they're rejoicing. I always roll down my window just a little bit to see what it is that they're singing to. And just a couple of days ago, I was up here going up Golden West, and I saw some gal beside me, and she was just in it, and I rolled it down, and it was worship. And she was just, God, I'm all in, even right now, all in. And another reason, because he made you this way, I love that song. I'm going to ask if we can sing that again at the end, Zach, wherever Zach is. It's your breath in our lungs. He gave it to us. Is there any better way to use that breath that he gave us than to take some of it and exhale it in worship and praise to him? I just think there's no better way. Look at this, Psalm 126. We're going to move through just a few of the psalms right now, then we're going to close with ample time in worship tonight. Is that okay with you? If we sing a little bit more this evening? Psalm 126. We went through this when we did our Take a Hike series, Songs of Ascent. And here's how the song goes. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Listen, read with me. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Why is worship so key? Why does worship matter? Because it's a grateful heart that said, Lord, what can we do except sing and worship you? Because you pulled us out of the prisons that we were in. Let me see the hands. How many of you would say the life before Christ was a prison cell to you? You were captive. How many of you tried to get yourself free? I tried to get myself free. I couldn't. I quit doing drugs 4, 5, or 6 times. It was easy. I just kept, you know, quitting and quitting and quitting, and then getting back on and again and again and again. The quitting was easy. The staying quit was a whole different thing. But God, you're the one who brought back the captivity. It was like a dream, and what could I do except sing? It's just a great way to say thanks. Look at this next one, Psalm 148. It's one of those final ones I was telling you about. Psalm 148. Oh, look how he starts out. Praise, 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 praise. You see that? Right down the verse there. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all you angels, and praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. Here's what this psalmist is saying. You praise him. Why? Yes, he gave you the ability. Yes, it's a great way to say thanks, but you praise him because you're grateful. You praise him because he deserves it. You praise him because he's earned that praise. Can you imagine winning a race? I mean, you've trained for years and years and years, and here you are in the Olympics and maybe in Boston and, you know, several Olympics down the road. But you have done everything to win that race, and you crossed the finish line, and nobody clapped. And there was no award ceremony at the end. And you know that you won it, but nobody's making any big deal about it. Can you imagine not praising God for the good things that he's done? We used to get criticized for, as Christians back in the day, as they say, for always saying, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And there were times when those praise the Lords kind of didn't fit, you know, in the sentence, but you can't say it enough. You can't say it too much if you mean it every time. And it's attached to something that deserves praise. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen? Amen. Praise him for whatever he's done for you. God deserves it. Next one, Psalm 149, right next door there. 149, look at verse 1. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise in the assembly of saints. That means here at church. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name with dance. I love the way that the songwriter here is this one? No name on that one either. This songwriter saying, smile when you praise God. Why don't you make your face look like you're glad, look like you're happy? There are times when you sing a certain song to God that You know, there's no way to make yourself smile in those times. But there are times when our face ought to be lifted up to the face that's looking back at us. That is, what's the scripture say? It's shining down upon us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May he make his countenance, lift up his countenance over you. And when you know you're looking back with gratitude and a smile in your face and gladness in your heart to a God who's smiling right back at you. No, I can't wait for the day I get to see that smile. I get to see him and hear him rejoice over me with singing. To hear the song of God. Whoa, I can't wait to hear what that voice sounds like. Better than Susan Boyle, I'm sure. Or Doyle, or whatever her name is. Way better. Better than Pavarotti, any of them. Better than James Taylor, and I think James Taylor's got about the best voice I've heard. Let the saints, verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds, and let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. At that point, the psalm turns to this song, kind of a vengeance, which is basically saying at this point, you know, I know God's going to put everything right. I know that all those who have rebelled against him, who have chosen to say, don't want you, God, don't need you, have no place for you in my life whatsoever. Still praying for a bunch of my buddies that need to unlock, you know, that door. Take the bar off the door and let God in. But one day God's going to balance all of this. And those who said, no, God, don't want you now, don't want you ever, if you're even there. The most remarkable thing to me is people who do believe there is a God and want nothing to do with them. God, that's just, to me, it's just beyond ludicrous. But he says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth. I mean, that's putting everything you have into saying, God, I'm just so in love with you. I can't say enough about you. Psalm 147, back up one. We praise God because we're in love with him is what he's saying there, because we're in love with him. And Psalm 47, verse 1, we praise him, and I love this one. Let's read this one together, the first verse. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. You need more reasons? Praise him. Why? Because it's good to sing praises. Because praise is pleasant. Oh, it is. And because it's beautiful. And the reasons could go on and on and on. But I want to give you one more. And it's in Psalm 67. How many of you are reading the five Psalms a day? Anybody tracking with me on that? Then you read Psalm 67 this morning. And I was walking along. It was cold out there this morning too, by the way. Anybody else get out? I ran into another brother from the church here, and me and my hermano were walking along side of each other for a little while, and we were both bundled up like Eskimos. It was so cold out there. My fingers were freezing, and I was trying to flip the Psalms up on my iPhone. This one just stopped me in my tracks. I kept walking, but you know what I mean. Psalm 67, it says, God be merciful to us and bless us. And cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Now let's read together verse 3 and 4. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Selah. What's that mean? Oh, pause. Just pause there. Let it stop you in your tracks for just a moment. Let it just stop you. Praise God, for he'll judge the people righteously, and he'll govern the nations on earth. We certainly can't do that, can we? Every time we govern, we make a mess. Okay, then he goes on, and he says, verse 5, 6, and 7, kind of wrapping up the same way. He says, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you, and then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us, and God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. I read it in the New King James. I read it in the New Living Translation. I posted it online in a Spanish translation that I don't really understand, but I thought, how appropriate is that? It says, let all the tribes praise you. And the word for the peoples in Spanish was pueblos. Todos pueblos. Let all the pueblos, let all the gatherings, the people groups all around the earth praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. And he says, this is what will happen. And then the earth shall yield her increase. And God, our own God, he'll bless us. And God shall bless us and all the ends of the earth. This praise will overflow our borders. We make God famous. We lift up his praise, his glory. We talk about his goodness. And it spreads like a wonderful virus. Don't we need a few wonderful healing viruses in the world nowadays? Look back at the beginning, though, of 67. God be merciful to us, bless us, cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. I can't remember if it was John Piper. I know he repeated it. If it doesn't come directly from him, he said this: missions exists in the world today because worship doesn't exist. You catch what he's saying there? Why do we go to the ends of the earth to tell people about Christ? Why do we wade into neighborhoods and reach out to families and individuals and people groups who don't know him yet? Because the worship of Yahweh doesn't exist there. Worship or missions is all about seeing the level of worship around the world rise. And that's why this is so tethered together with where we'll be in volume 2 of Community Matters. What matters? Why does worship matter? Well, because God is worthy, because he deserves anything that we could lift up to him in that category of praise, the surrender of our life to him. Because he deserves it, because he created you. It's his breath that's in your lungs. And you give that back to him, and you don't go all quiet when people around you, you understand, or, well, they wouldn't understand. I'm not saying stand up at Starbucks and jump into joyful, joyful, we adore thee. I'm not saying start spouting off just little repetitive, you know, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. A parrot can do that, right? But, I mean, don't be ashamed to tell somebody, you know, God bless you. Then to go further and to tell them, oh, he loves you. Oh, God is so good. When somebody says, how are you doing today? Say, wow, by the grace of God, I'm doing really good. I'm doing better than I deserve. I can't believe I feel like a king's kid, and he's the king and I'm the kid. Find a way to make him famous. Find a way to brag on him and boast on him. You don't have to be too creative to do that. You'll find a way. I mean, if down in your heart it's an issue of loving him with all of your heart, you'll find a way. You'll find a way. I really do believe that worship is even the key to reaching a lost world. When our praise and our worship of God escapes the walls and we're out in the community as joyful believers, lovers of God, and praisers of Yahweh and of Christ in the power of his Holy Spirit. Why does worship matter? It's the foundation of all that we do. These songs that rise from a grateful soul. In Psalm 65, it says this: praise is waiting for you, O Lord. Yeah, you can back up. You're right there. Praise is waiting for you, O God, in Zion. And to you, the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. I love the way that David here in Psalm 65, he's saying, praise is waiting for you right here, God, in my house. Praise is waiting for you. Would you be able to say that about your life? When you wake up tomorrow, say, God, get ready. It's coming. Get ready. You're going to hear from me today. Praise is waiting for you right here from this soul that's been redeemed, forgiven, ransomed. From this man, this woman that you saved for the purpose of living for you and loving you. Can you say that to him? God, praise is waiting for you. From me to you. So let's do that now.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.